WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Thousands of Palestinians begin returning home to a devastated northern Gaza. There are scenes of massive crowds returning on foot, including this woman through an interpreter.
The journey was difficult, but we were filled with happiness. We are overjoyed to return to the north.
Migrants on edge. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says a lot of them were rounded up this weekend across the U.S.
Federal agencies dramatically ramped up immigration operations this weekend with nearly 1,000 arrests nationwide Sunday, more than three times the Biden era averages.
Kansas City Chiefs fans are as excited as ever as the team is heading to the Super Bowl for a third time in a row.
Champagne for winners. Let's go for that three-peat.
They'll face the Philadelphia Eagles just like they did 2 years ago. The Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. An earthquake felt in Boston today was centered off York Harbor, Maine, with a magnitude of 3.8. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The deadline for the annual Wisconsin Governor's Business Plan Contest is fast approaching. The yearly contest, produced by the Wisconsin Technology Council, asks entrepreneurs to submit their business ideas and connects them with resources like business plan templates and networking contacts. Finalists in the contest could also receive shares of cash and service prizes. The deadline to enter the 2025 competition is Friday at 11:59 p.m. Contest applications can be submitted online at govsbizplancontest.com. Wisconsin nonprofits that support victims of domestic violence are looking for solutions as federal funding cuts limit their ability to continue offering their current level of service. According to a WPR report, a number of those nonprofits are now facing significant delays and backlog with reduced funding through the Victims of Crime Act, forcing them to reduce staff and sometimes even turn away cases that they would otherwise accept. Some organizations have reported losing as much as 70% of their funding through VOCA. Part of the Lower St. Croix River is being considered for designation as a critical habitat for two endangered mussel species. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is accepting public input on the potential designation, which would cover the section of the river below the dam at St. Croix Falls to the mouth of the Mississippi River. The designation would add protections under the Endangered Species Act for the land that would affect potential future projects nearby. Public input on the designation must be submitted by February 11th. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will host a public meeting on the proposed rehabilitation project of the U.S. 63 bridge over the Yellow River in Spooner. According to DOT officials, the meeting will be held at Spooner City Hall on February 5th at 5 p.m. The bridge is about 50 years old, and the proposed construction work is scheduled for 2028. DOT officials are planning to overlay the bridge deck with concrete, replace aging structures, improve nearby drainage, and replace a guardrail. Traffic would be reduced to a single lane during construction. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are in Utah. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks road trip continues tonight against the Jazz in Salt Lake City, Utah. The Bucks losing to the Clippers in L.A. over the weekend. 127-117. Bobby Portis was not there. He was out for personal reasons, a family matter. Portis has missed only one other game this season, back in November due to an elbow injury. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team with a win over Nebraska, 83-55. Badgers guard Kamari McGee and the Cornhuskers coming back after being down 19-2.
Game of basketball is it's a game of runs. So we know like teams are going to throw a punch back. No team is just going to get hit and just sit there and take the punch. So we knew that they were going to respond to how we came out talking like it's okay. Like just weather that storm. Got to keep moving forward. And we did.
Hockey. The Wisconsin men's team with a good performance against number 10th ranked Michigan in a two game series. The Badgers winning the first one 5-4. Game two ended in a 4-4 tie in overtime. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few sprinkles or flurries today and a warmer day, but the main story will be the breeze. High temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, still breezy with lows in the upper teens, still breezy on Tuesday with a high near 40. Current temperature is 33.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, friend and colleague Maggie Dawn joining us at 10:33 to talk all things Wisconsin. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope your week is starting out well. We got a great show planned for you today. I am going to be joined at the 3 o'clock hour, as I am every Monday, by someone from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today we've got special guest Shannon Baker Brandstetter. She is their Director of Climate and Energy Policy. As you know, or may know, the World Economic Forum in Davos is occurring right now. And in years past, it has been very much part of Davos that folks will spend some time talking about the environment and environmentally conscious investing and what, you know, the richest people on the planet are doing, as well as countries, to save our planet. This year, a little different at Davos. And also after the first year of the first week of the Trump administration, things are looking a little, I don't know, bleak is the word. We're going to review with Shannon this afternoon, especially what does this mean here in Wisconsin? If the Trump administration, you know, has backed out of the Paris Climate Accords, it is really kind of washing its hands of anything that has to do with protecting the climate and climate change and the environment. What does it mean here in Wisconsin, where so many of us enjoy recreating out of doors, where our tourism industry relies upon having beautiful natural resources? We're going to discuss all of that with Shannon at 3 p.m., as we will every Monday with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And of course, because it is Monday, I've got my friend Dom Salvia, host of the fabulous program that follows mine from 4 to 6 p.m. every Monday through Friday. He joins me for a little, in case you missed it, with Dom Salvia. So fun times ahead. I also want to let everybody know I've got a great interview tomorrow. I'm really excited. Officer Harry Dunn, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, is going to be joining me right at the top of the show tomorrow. He will be in Milwaukee and Madison tomorrow discussing really the ickiness, the ridiculousness of Donald Trump issuing blanket pardons to everybody involved in January 6th, whether they pled guilty, whether they were violently attacking police or not. He's having a press conference at 1 p.m. He's going to walk right from that press conference, which incidentally is being held in the very building in the state capitol where those fake electors committed fraud and a conspiracy to overthrow the United States government, with which Senator Ron Johnson happily then enabled by walking around the Capitol and attempting to pass that fraudulent slate of electors to then Vice President Pence. Yeah, Harry's going to be in that very same room at 1 o'clock. He's going to finish that press conference, walk right over to Civic Media Studios right there on the Capitol on State Street. And I'll have Harry joining us at 2 p.m. You're not going to want to miss that tomorrow. Having taken care of our business for this Monday morning, let's dive right in, shall we, everyone? As ever and always, this is always better when it is a conversation. We're all about real news and great conversation here at Civic Media. You can join this conversation at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we have got a bit of breaking news. I'm going to call it breaking news. The New York Times reporting this morning, they've got a pretty extensive article about the Supreme Court race that is shaping up in Wisconsin to be the bellwether for the entire country. The first test of Donald Trump's new administration, the first test of whether or not Americans really do care about free choice when it comes to your health care, whether or not Americans really do care deeply about our closely held democratic values. Of course, that race shaping up between Susan Crawford, judge in Dane County, and Judge Brad Schimel, former Attorney General Brad Schimel, now a judge in Waukesha County. The difference between these two candidates couldn't be more stark. In the near term, I will likely spend at least an hour going over Brad Schimel's, what word should I use? Abysmal. I think I'm going to go with abysmal track record as Attorney General, including, but near the top of the list, his failure to push the Catholic Church in the Milwaukee Archdiocese to protect and make right by all of the victims of clergy sexual abuse going back nearly 40 years. His failure as Attorney General to do anything about the incredible backlog of rape kits that still plague the state, though Attorney General Call has made great N-words. And in fact, despite that he did basically, I think, less than 10 of these backlog rape kits, claimed that, oh yeah, there was no backlog. So, you know, a little lying sprinkled in there. But the breaking news today, brought to us by the New York Times, and I'm going to give a hat tip to my colleague here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area. Hat tip to Dan for tipping me off to the fact that the New York Times uncovered two audio clips of Mr. Schimel at what they call meet and greets within the last week, talking about the fact that the question of the constitutionality of the access to abortion, of women's reproductive freedoms, is going to come before the Supreme Court. Now, just to set the stage here, of course, we have all become well familiar of the rule that says someone that is a judge or is running to become a judge or say, justice, one of the justices of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're all well familiar with the rule that says you can't say while you're running for these roles how you would vote on a particular case or controversy that may come before you. It's to avoid the idea that whether for fundraising dollars or just quid pro quo of votes, that people could say, well, I'll give you a donation, but be sure you vote this way on this particular case. And to uphold what now, in light of the tilt of the Supreme Court of the United States, seems quaint, the public's trust and faith in the judiciary to view each case as it comes to them on its merits, to not prejudge these legal disputes. Because each of us, should we ever find ourselves before a court, of course, want that court to consider our case, to have not come to a judgment before a single argument is made. Now, we all know there has been both the Dobbs decision taking away the national protection of a woman's reproductive choice of reproductive freedoms, and the subsequent decisions coming out of Dane County, where a Dane County judge said, listen, the 1849 so-called Wisconsin abortion ban, yeah, it doesn't ban abortion at all. In fact, it says nothing about that. I've covered this on the show and gone into great detail about the exact language of that 1849 law. No, the Dane County judge that considered that question concluded that the 1849 law bans infanticide, which is, frankly, the beating up of a wife or a woman who is pregnant, thereby killing their fetus. That is infanticide. It does not reach, it does not cover, or so held the Dane County court judge, does not cover a woman exercising reproductive choice to terminate a pregnancy of her own volition. That is going to come before the state's Supreme Court, as will the question of interpretation of our state's constitution. Does our constitution, which may grant more rights than our federal constitution, it can't reduce the number of rights, but it can grant more rights. Does our state constitution go further than the federal constitution and indeed enshrine in its protections of our civil rights, as well as the guarantee to be treated equally under the laws of this state, does that reach and therefore protect a woman's reproductive choice? Again, the Supreme Court in Dobbs held no after nearly 50 years in the contrary holding. But again, state constitutions can grant additional, more rights than the baseline protected under the federal constitution. So that question as well is going to come before our state Supreme Court. I might as well put it to you this way. When we all go to the ballot boxes in April to elect our next Supreme Court justice for this great state of Wisconsin, it might as well say on the ballot, do you believe in reproductive freedoms? Do you believe in an individual's right to select healthcare for themselves in consultation with their family and their doctors and their faith leaders if they so choose? That is effectively what the choice before Wisconsin voters will be when they choose between Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimel. But of course, despite that we all know that Judge Susan Crawford is a more left-leaning, more Democratic-leaning candidate supported by the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and that we all know that Judge Brad Schimel is a right-leaning candidate, much more conservative, supported by the Wisconsin Republican Party. We all know that. Nonetheless, it remains the case that no candidate for any judicial office in this state, including the state Supreme Court, may say, I'm going to rule this way on this particular case. That is the rule. Someone who violates that rule is both unfit to serve as a judge anywhere, least of which on our state Supreme Court, and second of all, could be potentially subject to judicial ethical investigations if they are a sitting judge, which both Judges Crawford and Schimel are, and or an ethics investigation brought by the Office of Lawyer Regulation in the state of Wisconsin. So both as a judge and separately as a lawyer, because judges aren't supposed to do those things. So with all of that as prequel, when we come back after these brief messages, I'm going to share with you what candidate Brad Schimel just this past week said at two meet and greets in some of the collar counties around the state of Wisconsin. You're not going to want to miss what he had to say, because, folks, I think Judge Schimel may find himself in a bit of hot water, if you know what I'm saying. And if you care about reproductive freedoms, you're not going to want to miss this. All coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional. Or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause, embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation, as well as helping out those in need. If you have been as troubled as I have been watching what has gone on in Southern California with the wildfires, and you would like to get involved, you might have some money that you would like to donate, figure out which organization you would like to support, don't worry, Civic Media has got you covered. Just head on over to civicmedia.us, click on the banner at the top of the website. We've got more information, especially about a particular organization called the Convoy of Hope, which is a nonprofit helping to provide immediate relief to those in need. Again, we always got you covered here at Civic Media. Want to get back to this discussion about what Brad Schimmel has said in two recordings unearthed this past week. He said these things back in July of this past year, in July of 2024. My thanks to Luke, who's on the board for me today, for helping me get those facts straight for each and every one of you. What he said is important. Because in the state of Wisconsin, as well as for any federal judge, there is a rule, a very bright line rule, that a candidate for a judicial position will never and should never say what he or she will rule on a particular case. And if a candidate does so, not only should they not be elected to the position, there should be a variety of ethics investigations. Now, those are the rules. To zoom out even more, let's remember, should we conjure up a wee bit of what has happened in various confirmation hearings for federal, say, Supreme Court judges when asked all manner of questions, you know, about abortion back in the day, like Brett Kavanaugh? Every single one of these conservatives that ultimately voted to overturn Roe v. Wade, when they were in their Senate confirmation hearings and they were asked about a woman's reproductive freedom, about our freedom to choose what happens to our bodies, every single one of these then candidates, appointees to become Supreme Court justices, always invoked stare decisis, which is, I will follow the case law that has come before me. And of course, your honorable senator, I can't opine on a case that's not before me. I can't engage in hypotheticals. Litmus testing, of course, would be totally inappropriate. This is what they said. Of course, those were lies because they full well knew when they finally got the opportunity and there was enough of them, they would do away with a woman's right to choose. So keep that in mind as part of this bigger context. Now, the third piece of context that I want to give you is let's recall this last Supreme Court election that we saw go down in this state. Remember this one with Janet Protasiewicz and that guy, I can't quite, oh yeah, Dan Kelly. And remember all of the hubbub about what then Judge Protasiewicz had said about Wisconsin legislative maps. She made a factual observation repeatedly on the campaign trail that talked about the fact that despite that the state of Wisconsin is either a bit left-leaning, a little bit more blue than red, or at best is purple, when we look before the redone maps, which we now are voting under, when we look back to those prior maps, you would see Republicans with nearly a supermajority. And she made the factual observation that on a mathematical basis, this seems quite awry. Now, Republicans back then lit their hair on fire. If you listen to my show pretty frequently, you know that I'm usually the one lighting my hair on fire on the radio. Back then, it was the Republicans absolutely losing their marbles about this. So much so that after Janet Protasiewicz handily beat Dan Kelly and was seated as a Supreme Court justice, Robin Voss, the guy that everybody loves to hate, called for her potential impeachment because she had violated this most sacrosanct rule that every single Republican nominee to any federal court judgeship has always hidden themselves behind while lying about whether or not they would overturn Roe. But that she had violated this rule. And so, according to Voss, she should be impeached. Okay, so these are the three pieces of really important context. The rule itself, which prohibits any candidate, whether by appointment or election, from saying to the electorate and people at large, I'm going to rule this way on this particular case, though the case is not before me. We've got the rule. We've got our memories, our recollections collectively that Republican appointees again and again and again sat in front of senators, swore an oath, and said, I can't, of course I'm going to follow the case law, including Roe v. Wade, and I can't tell you what I would do about any particular case that's not before me. And we have, as part of our collective contextual memory, the fact that Republicans freaked the frickin' frack out when Judge Janet Protasiewicz made mere factual observations, mathematical observations, about, frankly, how incredibly biased the prior legislative maps were in this state. And make no mistake, in addition to abortion being on the ballot this coming April, of course, our fair maps will be again on the ballot because Republicans will again challenge them, arguing that legislators should pick their voters and not the other way around. And of course, Act 10, the right of public sector employees to unionize, all those things will be back on the ballot. But with all of this, these three major pieces of context, with this in mind, we are going to listen to what Brad Schimmel said at an Adams County meet and greet on July 6, 2024, and then doubling down at a Calumet County meet and greet just a few weeks later on July 29th, 2024. And because I do not want us to miss one little syllable about what Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel had to say, we're going to have to wait until the other side of this little break we got to take in just a couple of seconds here. But folks, if you want to get your two cents in on either the hypocrisy of Republicans in the state or just the absolute ridiculousness of Brad Schimmel's approach to this issue as he campaigns, or what is sure to be the barn burner of barn burner Supreme Court elections, probably the most expensive state Supreme Court election this nation has ever seen, likely to exceed the cost of the last one. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Some changes announced by the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. They've decided to restructure a bit. Their president explains why next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Charlie Crave is the president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board of Directors, and he said they made the decision to merge some of their services with the UW Foundation for some simple efficiencies.
The reason for that is they currently hold most of our funds, so our funds are invested through the UW Foundation. However, they have a hallway of lawyers, accountants, et cetera, et cetera. We currently outsource a number of those services. And while they are competitively priced, we have done our research. We are absolutely positive we can save money by operating with the structure of the UW Foundation.
Charlie Crave, president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. Now, under their restructure, they did release Executive Director Brenda Scheider, as well as her assistant, Joanne Wolin. Still, Crave says the efficiencies they're finding with this restructure should help donor dollars go farther and continue the 70-year history the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board has had. And Wisconsin milk production looking pretty good for 2024's end. The December milk production came in 2.69 billion pounds of milk, up just a little bit compared to a year ago. But we did it with 1,000 fewer milk cows than November, 5,000 fewer milk cows than Wisconsin had compared to a year ago. Each one of those cows producing about 2,125 pounds of milk, up 10 pounds from last December. That's just a quick check on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few sprinkles or flurries today and a warmer day, but the main story will be the breeze. High temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, still breezy with lows in the upper teens, still breezy on Tuesday with a high near 40. Current temperature is 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, Welcome, one and all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Are you looking for a different way to get involved with this show? Does texting on the fly make you nervous? You want to catch all your typos, make sure you get your question or your comment explained just right, and you sure as heck don't want to call in? That's live radio. Well, don't worry. We've got an outlet for you. It's called Ask Maggie. It's a new segment that we're going to do every Friday at 3 p.m. It's going to be a bunch of fun. I've only got 90 seconds to answer the listener's questions. To get your question in the queue for me to talk about, it can be about just about anything. Sports, pop culture, why I love Beyonce so much. Oh, yeah, and politics, that too. Even religion is not off the table. Just email askmaggie@civicmedia.us. askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Our first crack at this brand new segment is going to be coming up this Friday. Mark your calendars, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, that is every Friday at 3 p.m. But back to the business at hand this afternoon. We've been talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race heating up to be probably the most expensive state Supreme Court race in the nation's history. The last cycle with Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly, that one topped huge, huge records before, blew them out of the water, the same as expected here. And the controversy is already heating up. There is a rule, no judicial candidate or candidate for justice of a state Supreme Court can say what they're going to rule on a case. The last time around, conservatives claim that then candidate and now Justice Janet Protasiewicz did that when it came to legislative maps. She didn't, and I'll get into a little bit more of that in a few minutes, but she didn't do that. She observed some facts. She didn't provide her legal conclusions about those facts. She just observed the facts. And third and finally, we remember from all of our collective memories of the debacles that all the Trump-appointed judges' confirmation hearings were, especially when it came to Roe v. Wade. Of course I'll follow prior precedent. That's stare decisis. You know, fancy Latin terms. And of course they said, no, I can't tell you how I'm going to rule on a case that's not before me yet. With all of that, we now turn to what Brad Schimmel said first on July 6, 2024, before a Calumet County meet and greet. Now, I know, thank you to Luke for cranking this up. It's a little hard to hear, but don't worry, your friendly lady lawyer, that's me. I will explain what he means when he says these things, and we'll break it down after we take a listen. Here we go. This is Brad Schimmel in Calumet County just this past July.
They're being asked to decide, is there a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution? And you may think, well, I thought the U.S. Supreme Court resolved this question. Oh, no. They only resolved that question as to the U.S. Constitution. With the Wisconsin Constitution, the last and final decision about what our state constitution says is the Wisconsin Supreme Court. No federal court has jurisdiction to decide what our constitution says, unless we conflict with the federal one and give fewer rights. That's a different question. But we could expand rights as we wish, and the federal courts have no say over that. So certainly this court is being asked, of course, then, because they promised they would do this, they promised they would protect reproductive rights, women's health, all the other things they come up with, the euphemisms they come up with for this. They promised they would do this. Of course, the lawsuit's been filed. They're being asked to find a constitutional right. So they've got several issues in front of them. One is the 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is flawed about that law? It was passed by both houses of the legislature in the same form and signed by a governor. That's all it takes for a law to be a valid law.
Isn't it, though? Let's just answer Brad's question. What's flawed about the law? Well, it was passed by a legislature and signed by a governor. It must be good. Well, then what's the point of courts, Brad? And he should know this, right? What's flawed about that law? Maybe what's flawed about the law is that women didn't have the right to vote. We hadn't yet undone all of Jim Crow. every American wasn't treated equally under the law. Maybe that's what's wrong about it, Brad. But aside from that, it's just a stupid thing to say. Why is it stupid? Because that is the role of courts, to review duly enacted laws for their constitutionality. Really, that's the court's job. So I don't know what the heck he's talking about, but what he's certainly tipping his hat to is that he would find and hold that the 1849 law indeed does ban abortion and that there's no constitutional right to abortion. Now, if you're unconvinced that that statement by Judge Schimmel should be absolutely disqualifying, he got even more clear just a few weeks after that, speaking at yet another meet and greet in Calumet County. Now, we're going to play this at least twice, Luke, because it's a quickie, and I don't want anybody to miss it. So here goes the first time. Let's listen up again. Somebody was recording this in the room, so a little hard to hear. Listen carefully. We'll play it twice for you. Here's the first time.
There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham.
I'm not hearing the clip. If they find that. If you are, Luke. Here we go. Let's try again.
There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that.
Are you hearing it, Luke? Because I am not.
Yeah, we got to play it out.
Just in case,
so
I'm just going to read you the text. Luke, let me know if it comes across. The first one I got, no problem. Let's try it one last time. We'll give it a third go here. Let's try again.
There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that.
So I'm hoping all of you out there could hear it, which is great. Let's review what he said. There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that. Well, I don't know how much clearer it could possibly get. I don't need to hear the clip. That's what the guy said. I listened to it before the show. That's what he said. There is no constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find it. Dear Brad, I hope that the Office of Lawyer Regulation already has a file open. I hope that the Judicial Ethics Review also has a file open, because you just violated the cardinal rule of anyone, anywhere, anytime running for judge or seeking to be appointed to a judgeship. You cannot prejudge cases. We know that he knows that this is not appropriate, because he said on the 6th of July in 2024 that this issue will come before the court, and then he said what he will rule. This is per se disqualifying. Doesn't matter how he tries to clear this up. It's interesting. I don't see Robin Voss screaming from the rooftops about this. Weird. You want to get involved in this conversation? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Jack from Merrimack, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm getting a little tired of the Wisconsin Supreme Court being called a court of progressives and progressive majority. What you have is three so-called conservative jurists who have decided to basically not follow the law. They voted to overturn an election in 2021, I think it was. 2020. They voted that gerrymandering, the way it was done, was legal and constitutional, and it clearly was not, and it was shown to be that way. What you have is a group of four people who follow the law, and then you've got another three who apparently aren't interested in doing so. And Susan Crawford being called a progressive, no, she is a jurist who will follow the law. That really bothers me that they were calling us a progressive court, because what we're getting is a court that follows the law. So thank you for taking my comment.
I heard loud and clear, Jack. The when the Wisconsin Supreme Court was dominated by conservatives, I read some of the decisions. They didn't even sound like legal reasoning to me. It sounded like a partisan diatribe, which is really unfortunate, as well as being unsound law. Thanks to Sue from Franklin, Andrew from Maine, and others on the text line, let me know that they heard Brad Schimmel's words loud and clear. Fantastic. Doesn't mean if I heard it. I heard it before the show. I just want to make sure every single one of you heard it. We're going to continue to take some calls, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Wanted to address very briefly, Dave from New Berlin asked about the same sort of controversy involving Judge Janet Protasiewicz when she was running. Conservatives claim that she said clearly that she would overturn the legislative maps drawn by the gerrymandered all-to-heck Wisconsin legislature. She didn't. And there's a big difference between Judge Protasiewicz as a candidate observing the mathematical facts of how Wisconsinites, when we look at the voting numbers as a state overall, right, observing the mathematical facts that we are either a 50-50 or a slightly Dem leading state, and then looking at the legislative results in both the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate being in some election cycles nearly a veto proof supermajority, that is math. Those are literally observable facts. She did not go as far as to say, and therefore, because the math is so skewed, these are unconstitutional maps. She didn't say that. And that's the key. There have been Supreme Court cases, federal Supreme Court cases, that have said, listen, partisan gerrymandering is fine. Now, we do know from those Supreme Court cases that at a certain point, it can become too partisan. The Supreme Court's been noticeably pretty vague about what that is. And as Brad Schimmel himself admitted in the clip from July 6th, the state constitution can confer more protections, more rights than the federal constitution did. So Judge Protasiewicz did not violate this rule, did not by any meaningful interpretation of this rule. She observed facts, but she did not apply the facts to the Wisconsin constitution, and she didn't reach a conclusion like Brad Schimmel did on July 29th, 2024, in saying something either clearly is or is not constitutional. And just in case anybody missed it, let's take a listen one more time to what Brad Schimmel said about the right of women to choose.
There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that.
Yeah, that's what Janet Protasiewicz didn't do. She didn't violate this rule. Let's go to the phones, because I think that distinction you're going to hear, oh, Janet did this. No, she didn't. Mm-mm, not even close. And I'm just going to make this observation. If you've been listening to my show, you know I'm your friendly lady lawyer here on the radio, helping us dissect this stuff every day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I have seen Brad Schimmel in practice. I have seen Judge Janet Protasiewicz in practice. I have watched them as jurists. I have watched them address groups of lawyers. And I'm just going to say this point blank, regardless of your partisan lean, Janet Protasiewicz, from a lawyering skill, lawyering analytics perspective, and just who's smarter? Yeah, she's running laps around Brad Schimmel. Let's go back to the phones. Very briefly, we've got about a minute left. Robert, and then we're going to take more calls on the other side. Robert from West Allis, you're up next, sir.
Real quick, I think that Kelly ran against her. If Kelly had won, I think Act 10, the gerrymandering, the abortion issue, they would all probably be quickly grabbed and brought to the court. Is there anything in Wisconsin that would eliminate doing that? Why do we always have to wait in order to for progressives to wield power?
One of the reasons is that the conservatives that dominate the Wisconsin Assembly won't let our voters choose via referendum. They won't put the things that matter most to vote because they know Wisconsinites would vote to enshrine these kinds of rights and protections. We're going to go back to the phones, take more of your texts after this break, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name's Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full. Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm so happy 'cause today
I'm so happy that you are with me, helping to make this great program even better through great conversation. Join this one, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Brad Schimmel, unfit by almost any measurement. Well, including the one about judicial ethics and not opining on cases not yet before the court and telling people how you would rule on it in order to court their votes, which is exactly what Brad Schimmel did this past July 29th in 2024. And some wise person caught it on tape and shared it with the New York Times, and they shared it with Dan Schaefer, who shared it with me so that I could share it with each and every one of you. In case you missed it, let's take one last listen, Luke, as to what Brad Schimmel said about how he would vote if he's elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court about a woman's right to choose.
There is not a constitutional right to abortion in our state constitution. That will be a sham if they find that.
Yeah, he's not supposed to do that, just to be really clear. If his failure to do anything about the backlog of rape kits when he was attorney general was too much. If Brad Schimmel's cozying up to the January 6th insurrectionists, including those who violently beat cops and have subsequently been pardoned by Donald Trump. If all that wasn't enough, this should certainly do it, no matter what you think about abortion. This is not what is simply unacceptable from any judicial candidate, in my opinion. Here we go. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up next. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, well, Brad Schimmel has had that long history of doing the wrong thing when he was the district attorney for Waukesha County. He reduced a felony for Scott Jensen to a misdemeanor, or three felonies, as a matter of fact, to a misdemeanor. So Scott Jensen could pursue a career as being a lobbyist, probably, you know, for the firms he works for, probably, you know, directed money toward Mr. Schimmel over the years now, which is kind of a bad thing. Even the ancients declared, you know, they didn't like the idea of judges getting bribes, which that is what it certainly is. And for this right here, since he is now a current sitting judge in Waukesha County, I believe, he just violated the Code of Judicial Ethics and should get sanctioned for that.
That is my point, Mark. Whether it's the Code of Judicial Ethics, the Attorney of Lawyer, the Office of Lawyer Regulation here in the state of Wisconsin, all bad, all disqualifying. And I just want to point out my good friend Dave from New Berlin. You know, my distinction that I drew between what Justice Protasiewicz said about the facts of Wisconsin maps, not their constitutionality, and what Brad Schimmel said, it may seem like I'm drawing a fine line. I don't think so at all. I don't think most lawyers would think so. That is what those rules are meant to do. You can talk about facts. You can even give your opinion about facts. But she didn't do the thing that judges do, which is apply the facts to the law when it came to the Wisconsin Constitution. That is exactly what Brad Schimmel did. And that is why it should bar him from holding one of the highest offices in this state. Period. Full stop. That's it. And here's what it says more broadly about Judge Schimmel. It says that he doesn't care what the rules are. That's what's fundamentally so disturbing. Not only just the breaking of the ethics rules, but the thumbing your nose at the very idea that there are such restrictions and that you, as a candidate for the state's highest court, would want to take every effort to stay on the right side of those rules. It's also another extremely egregious example of Republicans engaging what is now common practice, which is rules for me, Democrats, and rules, excuse me, rules for me, Republicans and conservatives, and rules for thee, Democrats, and those are not going to be the same. The hypocrisy and the no rules apply to me is really fundamentally the problem. I don't know how any litigant, any Wisconsin citizen would feel confident that Mr. Schimmel would approach issues in the objective way that we should demand of every single Supreme Court justice in this state. And it should result in him being sanctioned in his current position as a judge in Waukesha County. Full stop. Now, I got to tease a little bit of what we got coming up next. Really excited this afternoon. If you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about protecting our natural resources here in Wisconsin, you're not going to want to miss my next guest, Shannon Baker Brandstetter. She's with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's their Senior Director of Domestic Climate and Energy Policy. She comes up next at 3:30. I got Dom Salvi, who's got the fine program following mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. joining me. Dom and I are going to do a little bit of a dive into Davos and tax cuts and all those sorts of things that have been going on, and a couple of Donald Trump's executive orders from last week that didn't get so much press that I think deserve much, much more. We might even get to the debacle that is cryptocurrency and Donald Trump's grift in the crypto area, especially poignant since tech stocks are plummeting today, including cryptocurrencies losing chunks of value as China's DeepSeek artificial general intelligence model that will be free seems to have beaten, if the promises of what it can do are true, seems to have beaten all of the billionaires here based in Wisconsin, in the United States, in the AI race. So again, tech stocks down today. We'll dig into that because that's all the rage at Davos. In fact, I'll break down all of Davos and the ridiculousness of the Trump economic plans in just a couple of ABCs. I'll do that with Dom at 3:30. Keep it locked. We're going to take care of news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour, and I'll be back. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Immigration crackdown operations are ramping up across the country, with ICE reporting nearly 1,000 arrests yesterday alone. Mufalo Chittum is with the Immigrants' Rights Coalition in Maine.
I don't feel safe. My community can't feel any safe. Now the parents feel helpless and hopeless.
Palestinians have not been home to northern Gaza in more than a year, but they're heading back there now, in some cases to find just decimated neighborhoods. But says this man via interpreter,
this is an unparalleled feeling. Thank God for honoring us by bringing us back to Gaza. I have a great sense of pride.
CBS's Jill Schlesinger says an AI company is putting a dent in the stock market.
All of a sudden, we have a Chinese company that basically said, hey, guess what? We have new AI models that we were able to develop without investing as much in these very expensive chips.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.